You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Lynn Wallach. Lynn is a regular contributor to Planet Waves Astrology, published by Eric Francis, and also a practicing astrologer in Seattle, Washington. He provides astrology readings and instruction via telephone or in person. For the last 10 years, Lynn has also assisted Michael Soriano in transmitting the Reiki Mastery Series teaching model, which has matriculated over 100 practicing Reiki masters. Lynn grew up watching the sky and to this day finds the greatest joy contemplating stars, planets, and luminaries from the sacred surface of the earth. He can be reached at his email address, lynnwallach@gmail.com. So let's welcome Lynn now and find out what's in the stars. Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm fine, and thank you, Lance. I appreciate your hospitality.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. I mean, that's my job, right?
Thank you.
It's an auspicious night because we had to postpone our show from an earlier date, and here we are chatting live on the full moon. It went full at 6:20, if I'm not mistaken, didn't it?
Actually, we're about an hour and a half from it being full. The Pacific Standard Time is at 8:39 p.m. For the full moon.
All right. Well, I'm just going to kind of let you start out with take us in whatever direction you like. leading up to where we're at now, and then we can go into where we're going according to our local universe.
Well, thank you, Lance. I appreciate that. Well, on a full moon, the Earth is in between the sun and the moon, and we're looking at the moon like it's a movie screen. So we're like in a movie theater, and the projector is the sun, and the moon is the movie screen, and we're seeing that. So it's the exposure, the full exposure of the side of the moon that's facing us, and that represents the full exposure of the information that the moon provides, which is our personal consciousness as reflected in the public consciousness that the sun represents. So it's a culmination of what began when the two of them were together 2 weeks ago for the new moon, and it's a type of a climax. And a lot of people feel that, and the energy of the climax can be channeled better if you're aware of it than if you're not. And
right.
So that explains a lot of stuff that goes on around full moons, is a lot of people feel the energy, but they're not operating with awareness.
Right, right. In fact, I used to work in an emergency room and in California, and the nurses there would always say on and we'd notice that there were just massive cases coming into the emergency room and bizarre cases. I won't get into the details, but I'll tell you, I've seen some very strange things occur on a full moon in the emergency room. So that's something that medical professionals can vouch for.
And that represents, the type of stuff that sends you to an emergency room, especially if it's bizarre, usually means that you're not operating with awareness in handling the energy. And that is one of the things that's a part of the astrology as a whole right now. So we have, in the smaller scale, the more frequent scale of a full moon, we have that theme going on with the longer scale as well.
Ah. So Now, how does that fit into the astrology that we just came out of with the 2012 alignments? And what does it look like for this period? Let's say we're in January, February, and March. That takes us to the spring equinox. Is there anything significant during this next few months that we need to be aware of? It seems like the world is becoming, I mean, what I'm seeing is that there's an acceleration of the polarization between extremes, and it could just be that we're becoming more aware of it. What might address that perception?
Well, you addressed several things. We're going to break it down a little bit.
Okay, good.
This winter solstice got a lot of publicity. And the big question after the winter solstice, and when I say winter solstice, I mean for the northern hemisphere, for people down in Australia, New Zealand, southern hemisphere, it's the summer solstice, of course. So let's call it the Capricorn solstice instead.
Okay.
It's only the winter solstice on the northern hemisphere. It's summer solstice for people down under. So if anybody's listening down under, we're giving you equal time. So the question is, what? Because there was a lot of buildup, a lot of publicity, a lot of rumor, and of course the media and the entertainment industry took advantage of all that. You still there?
Yes. Okay. Your line seems to be a little rough for some reason.
Okay. Well, let me get myself a little closer to the. To the connection, but the question now is, and what did happen was awareness, and that's the word that you just used. And awareness is a subtle thing, but when you compare it to not being aware, it's important, because when you're aware of something, then you that. To take responsibility, or at least face the choice of whether or not responsibility. And if you are facing the choice of whether or not to take responsibility, that puts you in a position of acting in integrity or not. And that's the kind of the polar situation that you were describing.
Uh-huh.
Awareness, it begins with awareness, and then you have the polar situation. Take responsibility or not.
Okay.
And then, if you do take responsibility, act with integrity or not. And that is really what happened with the solstice, is just the awareness. The people who were reached by all of this policy made aware that there was something big that was supposed to happen, and they got a little.
Okay, so we're back. We have tested the lines, and I think we got waved our magic wand, and I predict that we will have a very clear show for the rest of the hour, and I apologize for the inconvenience. Lynn, we were talking about awareness and a lack of awareness, and this is really important stuff, because this is where the consciousness and unconsciousness kick in, and where unconscious behavior can be affected by many things, including the stars, as you know. So let's continue with what you were saying before we had to rechange the lines.
Thank you, Lance, and I apologize to you and the audience as well for any inconvenience on the us being cut off. But yes, you mentioned consciousness and unconsciousness. One of the things the sun can represent is consciousness. One of the things the moon can represent is unconsciousness. At a full moon, they are opposed to each other with the earth in between. And so the full moon represents the culmination or opposition between consciousness and unconsciousness.
Mm.
But one of the things that came about as a result of the solstice is it just made people more aware. It made people more aware of the what's going on in the sky, and made people more aware of how we are part of what's going on in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, a very lasting effect of the solstice. So even though the world didn't end, thank goodness,
Right.
The odometer did turn over, which is really what the Mayan calendar is all about. When it reaches the end of the cycle, it doesn't mean the end of the world. It just means the odometer's turning over. And
right.
If that happens with your car, you celebrate a little bit, maybe schedule some maintenance, but it's not the end of your car when the odometer turns over. So that's the lasting effect of the solstice. So what now? A lot of people would say, what now? How do you follow something like that? Well, one follows something like that by building on the awareness and taking responsibility and acting in integrity. And it all starts with awareness. In the longer term, the solstice was a subset of a much longer thing that's going on with Uranus and Pluto. Would you like me to touch base on that just a little bit?
Yes, because yes, please do.
Okay, back in 1965 and 1966, Uranus and Pluto were conjoined. And what that means is, from our point of view here on Earth, they were in the same part of the sky. And from the point of view of an astrologer, they are at the same point on the zodiac, on the same degree of the same sign. And because both of them move really slowly, they hung into that for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But awareness was lacking because in the mid-60s, very few astrologers were using Pluto, and even those that did were not using it with the awareness that astrologers use it with now. So there was no astrologer in the world anywhere who, in the mid-60s, when there was the Vietnam War and the Beatles and sexual revolution and the use of mind-altering substances and all sorts of other things going on, there was no astrologer in the world who had the awareness to say, look, Pluto, Uranus, conjunct, this explains everything, okay? So that ties into the awareness. Now, Pluto and Uranus have separated from each other, and they're about 90 degrees apart. And once again, because they move very slowly, they're holding that 90 degrees for a period of years. And that brings up the idea of what awareness can do. And I have a kind of an earthy example I think anybody can relate to, even if they don't understand astrology. May I have your permission to offer that? It's okay for families to listen to, I promise.
Okay, yes, absolutely. You permission granted.
Okay. Well, imagine that everybody in the world tomorrow woke up with an identical blemish on an identical place on their backside.
Okay.
Now, almost nobody would go to a doctor because they have a pimple on their backside, right? No. So almost nobody would do that. That's not enough reason to go to a doctor and have to put up with all that one goes through. So what that means is everybody in the world would be walking around covering it up, of course, and not telling anybody, because that's not the kind of thing you talk about in polite conversation.
Right.
And everybody in the world would think that they were alone in having this blemish, this pimple on their backside.
Yeah.
Okay? And nobody would know that everybody was going through the same thing at the same time.
Wow.
But imagine what would happen if something made it possible for everybody to realize, oh, everybody is going through this, not just me.
Yeah.
Imagine what that would do to turn things around, turn consciousness around, turn awareness around. Imagine what that would do. As opposed to going around thinking, oh, why is this happening to me? Why does this always happen to me?
Right.
Realizing, I have this in common with everybody in the world. That's two different states of mind. Okay.
Absolutely.
And that is what this 90 degrees of separation represents. between Uranus and Pluto.
And happening and right now,
have,
right?
And that's right. That's happening right now.
Okay. Okay.
And will continue to happen for another couple years.
Oh, wonderful. So that's really good news.
It is good news if one has awareness.
Right.
If one doesn't have awareness, then it's
then
bad
news.
You got
a pimple on your ass.
It's a matter of, you know,
yeah.
Are we all in the same boat, or is it just happening to me kind of a thing?
Right, right.
That's a big difference.
Right.
And that ties into... I'm sorry?
Well, I was wondering if there are any elements that are thrown into this mix that are working on raising awareness.
Yes. The solstice was part of that.
Okay.
What happens at the solstice is the sun appears to change direction. Up until either the Capricorn solstice or the Cancer solstice, which we call the summer solstice here in the northern hemisphere, the sun sets further and further south with the, up until the Capricorn solstice. Every night, when you watch the sun goes down, it sets a little further and further south. And then after the Capricorn solstice, all of a sudden it starts to go the other way and change direction. Setting further and further north every night. And since sun represents consciousness, it's a change of direction in consciousness. So what the solstice did with awareness ties into the change of direction in consciousness, which can literally open up this Pluto-Capricorn square, and that's what a 90 degrees of separation between planets in the sky is called. It's called a square. Open it up from attention felt inside and to a something that is that we all have in common with each other. And this year, going into this year, that is going to reach a new level because of activities in the water signs.
Ah, okay. Would you like to continue with what that activity would be?
Yes. First, it would be important to understand that astrology goes a long way back.
Yeah.
It goes back to when natural scientists, people like Aristotle, believed that there were only four elements. There was fire, there was earth, there was air, and there was water. A lot of people still refer to those today. And the signs that are on the 12 signs that are used in astrology, most people know their sun sign, where it was when they were born, where the sun was when they were born. The signs are distinguished from each other in part by what element is assigned to that sign, okay? Water signs are signs that are very challenging because water as an element in ancient natural science, which is carried forward today in what some people call alchemy or even some other people call witchcraft, is a difficult thing to deal with. I'm sure you speak with other people who deal with ancient natural science, you may know some people like that. And of the people that I know who practice those disciplines, one thing that all of them tell me when I'm just having a casual conversation is that water's the most difficult one to deal with. And water can represent literal water, but it also can represent metaphorical water. Most straightforward metaphor is water equals emotion. So if we look at the example of Queen Elizabeth I, she's famous for saying that the most difficult thing to rule is one's heart, one's emotions. Right?
All right, right.
She was a very good person at politics. She was very good at economics.
Yes.
She was very good at organizing people. She was very good at making decisions. But when it came to her own personal life, the equivalent of water, she ran into difficulty. Okay?
Right, right.
And all of us are going to be in the position of Queen Elizabeth this year. We're going to have to get a little better about ruling our own hearts and integrating our own hearts and our emotions. And when you consider that most of popular culture is focused in the head and is intellectual, that's a considerable challenge.
Right.
So the details of the water signs this year are something I can offer really briefly so people can understand them as well, if you'd like.
Yes, that'd be great.
Well, one other thing that's going to be happening is that all three of the Mercury retrogrades are going to be in water signs this year. Now, a lot of people who don't know much about astrology, they know about Mercury retrogrades. And unfortunately, they only hear the negative part about Mercury retrogrades. But for the first time since 1967, and you notice how this ties in with the Uranus-Pluto square going back to the conjunction in the 1960s. For the first time since 1967, all three of the Mercury retrogrades this year are going to be in water signs. In addition, we have Neptune in the water sign of Pisces, which is the sign that Neptune is, but most astrologers think Neptune rules Pisces. It's in Pisces for the first time since 1863, when Abraham Lincoln was trying to get the Emancipation Proclamation put through. And Saturn is in Scorpio. It moved into Scorpio in October of last year, and that's the first time since, like, 1982, 83. And Jupiter is going to be moving in Cancer at the end of June, and that's the first time since 2001, 2002. So you have this amazing synchronicity going on where there's this huge focus on the water signs. You've got Neptune in the water sign that it rules for the first time since Abraham Lincoln was alive.
Wow.
You have Jupiter in moving into Cancer, and that's going to be a key thing because that will complete the trine that Saturn and Neptune already have, Saturn being in Scorpio, and there will be like a equilateral triangle shape separating. If you think of these three planets, Neptune, Jupiter, and Saturn being at the points of an equilateral triangle, that's a very powerful figure in astrology. It's called a trine, and that means that there's a big flow, an uninterrupted flow. It's sort of like having an electrical circuit with no resistance.
Wow.
That's a lot of energy going on. And the idea here is just like a full moon. If you're not aware of the energy, you could end up in the emergency room or equivalent.
Right.
But if you are aware of the energy, you can work with it. And that's so you have the Mercury retrogrades in water signs for the first time since 1967. And then you have Saturn, Neptune, and Jupiter going into water signs. Well, actually, they're all there except for Jupiter. That's the final piece falling in place right around the end of June, right after the Cancer solstice. So that's going to be a huge emphasis on the ancient element of water and what it represents literally and metaphorically.
So now, if water rules the emotions, then it could be a very volatile time positively and negatively, depending on one's integrity and consciousness.
That is correct.
Okay.
And that is why the solstice was so important because it opened up the awareness and now is to continue into awareness and into the next step of taking responsibility for what one is aware of and then acting in integrity on that responsibility. So there's a big tie-in that ties in the solstice, that ties in this long-lasting relationship between Pluto and Uranus and all of the activities in the water signs. And what we're looking to do as astrologers is to help people be aware, because that will help people release attachment or investment in a dying paradigm, because that's another big thing that's going on with the astrology, is that there's a indication that paradigms that have existed for a long time have run their course, and the nature of how that plays out depends on how many people are attached to keeping things the way they are, even though everybody knows things have to change sooner or later.
Right.
And we are living in a time of change.
Wow. That's a huge statement, because you know, the people that, there are so many that are attached to the old paradigms and the old patriarchal systems, which are pretty much levied and weighted in the direction of those who are basically running the world. So there's a lot of push from that angle. And then there are a lot of people who don't want responsibility, who are just as happy to go to their 9-to-5 jobs and live the status quo. So it seems like this could be quite a, and they're up, and then there are those who are awakening and awake, who are doing movements to emancipate or free countries that have been enslaved. We're all enslaved to some extent, but to free people from the horrendous dictatorships and horrible treatment that the masses have been under, as you said, as part of the old paradigm that's been going on for so many, probably thousands of years. So this could be, and probably will be, a huge upheaval, a time of huge upheaval for change and movement, given all of these water elements.
The upheaval begins inside.
Well, you're right. Right.
That's the main thing. Is
right.
And
it
the
really
extent
begins and ends there, doesn't
the,
it? Kind of. I mean, it begins there and radiates out and then alters the collective consciousness and kind of then is mirrored back to us in kind of a feedback loop?
Well, the main thing is the extent to which the individual handles the upheaval inside.
Right, right.
And this goes back to the blemish on the bottom, okay?
Okay. Right.
This goes back to the blemish on the bottom. The
yeah.
extent to which the individual handles the upheaval felt inside will determine the nature and extent of the upheaval as it expresses in the world as a whole.
Mm.
So every individual living right now is important. And the greater we realize that we are not alone in having this blemish on the bottom and that we're all in the same boat together, then the less likely that the expression of the upheaval on the outside in the world as a whole will be disruptive, and the more likely it will be constructive.
Right, right. It sounds like if we were all to acknowledge the blemish, that we would be aligning in unity consciousness. So it would kind of be like a moment of, well, it's no big deal. We're not alone. Everybody's got it. So it would be kind of like we're all in the same boat together, which is what quantum physics is saying, that we're all entangled with everything that is and isn't. And so it could be a wonderful moment of working together to find solutions or create solutions or just implement solutions that already exist for systems that just don't work anymore.
Exactly. That fits with the sun at the solstice.
Okay.
If you consider the sun being consciousness at the solstice, it turns around and starts going the other way. It changes direction.
Okay?
And I'm glad that you mentioned the entanglement, because that the Nobel Prize for Physics this last year was given to scientists who had established for the first time entanglement working in the real world at the same scale, at the same temperature that we exist, rather than in a theoretical level or in a small scale at a really small or a real low temperature. They mm-hmm. have shown it existing as in the real world. And the people who received the Nobel Prize in Physics this last time got that. But when it comes to turning around, I have an example from something that happened just a couple years ago in the real world, to show the kind of challenge of changing this consciousness that we're all facing. Can I offer that example?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, April 2010, when Chiron, on the very day Chiron, which is a minor planet, and right around the time that Neptune moved into Pisces, in the Gulf of Mexico, the deep water horizon oil rig blew up.
Oh, right.
And, of course, that was a big deal. And we still don't know the extent of the damage on that, except that we know it's bad.
Right.
And people who live down in the Gulf of Mexico, it's bad. And when there was some news coverage on that, the way the news coverage came down, of course, came down based upon the degree to which the particular news outlet was beholden to the industry that was behind this huge accident, the oil industry. And mm-hmm. one of the most beholden networks was, I'm sure, your favorite network, the Fair and Balanced Fox News Network.
Yes, right.
And they were interviewing two women who had been widowed by this accident. So here are two women who had lost their husbands on the deep water horizon oil drilling rig when it blew up. And at the end of the interview, the person from Fox News asked them, is there anything you would like to tell the people of America? And I was just astonished at the response. Their response was, don't stop drilling. That was their response. Can you believe that?
Don't stop drilling?
Don't stop drilling.
Wow.
In other words, they put a greater value on the livelihood and the source of livelihood that the oil industry offered.
Wow.
Than they did upon the loss of their husbands. And I mean this out of respect to these two women. I don't mean to show disrespect to somebody who loses somebody that they love. But this really illustrates what all of us are facing.
Yeah.
And that is, as difficult as it was for these two women to lose their husbands, it was more difficult for them to release attachment to the paradigm and the industry, the paradigm behind the industry that caused the accident to happen in the first place.
Right.
And we're all in the position of those two widows. We really are. We're in the position of having to make some choices like that. And getting some perspective and looking at it from the outside, it is kind of hard to believe that they would say that. But if we were in their position, And if we lived in communities where everybody depended for their income on this paradigm that's behind this industry that caused this terrible accident, it would be a big conflict. It would be a conflict internally felt. And it would be hard to understand that everybody is feeling a version of it at the same time.
Right.
And that is an illustration of where the solstice, where the Uranus-Pluto square comes together. And this year, it's going to become, it's going to be personal, so to speak, because water is personal. So you've probably heard that line, this time it's personal. Well, this time, this year it's personal for us. And we're all going to have to kind of integrate and get some familiarity and some control of our emotions on the same level that we have gotten with the intellectual. And our society is not really equipped us to do that. And that is going to be the big thing with all the water sign activity this year.
Well, you know, the ironic part about that story you told, that you shared, and we could go into a lot of different areas with that, but just briefly, over the years that I've been doing this show, I've discovered that various forms of technology and energy that have been lumped into the category of free energy have been developed decades ago and basically locked up by the corporations that hold the patents. And the oil companies have suppressed it for obvious reasons, and that's why we don't have maglev cars and flying cars and things like that at this time, because the money is not there. So we've been kept on an artificial bubble of dependence on oil and gas, and now fracking, all destructive to the planet Earth herself, which is a living entity. And so we're basically destroying our home because these paradigms that have been created are not willing or ready to let go of the technology that already exists, which everyone could be sharing and enjoying right now. So I'm hoping that
the paradigms will let go when enough individuals let go.
Right. That's what,
because the paradigms themselves have no existence. They are
right.
A matter of a cumulative, large number of people cumulatively giving up their power to those paradigms.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
So and the paradigms themselves are not the problem. It's individuals taking responsibility after reaching awareness.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for adding that, because that really is the crux of the issue. And I'm certain that there are people involved with various industries that are destructive at this point that are aware and are working within those industries to effect some change. So I didn't mean to paint a broad black strokes over all of that. So thank you for bringing that out. There's an additional problem with the nuclear industry. So I think that we probably know what that problem is since Fukushima occurred, and that involved water again. So
that's right.
At the literal level,
right.
And both of these events have involved water. Then we have some people claiming that there is some remote viewers are claiming that there will be some events that will cause coastal waters to rush in on all the coasts, which could be, you know, that could be another water problem. So the water theme is going to be up for us this year, it looks like, on the metaphysical and literal levels.
That's right.
Yeah.
And part of it is being aware.
Yeah.
And then getting aware, taking responsibility for the awareness, and getting clear on how water relates to individuals and how water relates to everybody being in essentially the same boat together.
That's right.
And acting responsibly.
Right, right.
And acting in integrity based upon that. And rather than giving up the power, individuals giving up their power to the paradigm, taking the power back from the paradigm, and then the paradigm isn't so powerful anymore.
Right, right, right. And it looks like that's a lot of what's been going on, that the paradigm has gradually, we've been giving our power over to that. And as you said, the paradigm doesn't exist without us turning our power over. So it's just a matter of, as you said, reclaiming our power and then acting out of integrity. And I'm assuming that acting with integrity also means with the best interest of everybody else who has a blemish on their backside, and that
That's
it
correct.
Would indicate a level of transparency and honesty in dealings rather than manipulation, distortions, lies, and corruption.
Absolutely correct. You're putting it very well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Well, we're also, I mean, anybody that is following what's going on the planet that's not just completely brain dead, no offense to those who are brain dead, can see that what's going on. I mean, it's reaching a point where I'm beginning to wonder. Everybody that I know sees what's going on. They can see the corruption. They see the old paradigms are crumbling. They can see the destruction and the greed and so on and so forth. And yet, it doesn't seem to have reached a nexus point where enough people have grasped it to poke a hole. For instance, in the mainstream media, as you mentioned, one particular news outlet, Fox News, but all of the media outlets are controlled. We're not getting the truth. We're not even getting tidbits of the truth. We're getting little bits and pieces of what bread and circuses and smoke and mirrors. Everything that's important is being concealed and covered up and whitewashed. So I'm looking for a reversal, a time when this can when that can change. And I'd hoped that it would be a little more forthcoming, but it doesn't look like it's going to be unless there's some kind of mass event that affects everybody's consciousness at the same time. A global near-death experience, for instance, would do it. you know, they're all
well.
Kinds
we
of
have
things.
Had so we have had some of those events, and those events have served to scare a lot of people into awareness,
right.
But they have also been minimized. The damage done by the Deepwater Horizon oil rig has been minimized and covered up and rendered to the legal system and made a monetary thing. And the damage of the Fukushima reactors has been minimized.
Oh, yeah.
And it, not just in Japan, but worldwide.
Oh yeah.
So it's difficult. Yeah. It's difficult to get that information, but getting that information means overcoming the desire to be in denial of it.
Yeah.
And that has to do with the big phenomenon behind what's called the big lie. And you've heard of that term before, the big lie.
Yes, but go ahead and extrapolate on this because this is really good stuff.
Okay, well, the big lie means a lie that is so big that and so awful that the everybody, no matter who, is tempted to want to deny that it's a lie.
Yeah.
Because accepting that it's a lie means letting go of some concepts and some perceptions, some comfort zone things that are difficult to let go of. And that's why the established order is able to use the phenomenon, the big lie.
Yes.
And tell a big spanking lie.
Yes.
That they shouldn't be able to get away with.
Right.
But, once again, coming down to the individual and awareness, okay, if the consequences of saying that's a lie means, oh, but then that means something really terrible, therefore I must deny in myself that it's a lie and withhold from talking about it to anybody else that it's a lie, and then peer pressure kind of thing takes over. If you will recall, after the 9/11 event, there was a great deal of peer pressure to go on record with people that you know as being, you know, with the program. Oh yes, this is a terrorist act. Blah blah blah. And it took a really brave, small number of brave people, to start saying, no, this is a big lie.
Yes,
and a matter of fact, the denial of the 9/11 was so great that there were people who were living in New York City who could see these buildings burning and falling down who refused to believe it was happening, okay, even though they could see it with their own eyes.
Yep.
And that is the power behind the big lie, is that it is it's a lie that opens up something that is so terrible that we want to believe that big lie is actually the truth, because it protects us from having to accept the reality that is difficult to accept. And and that is really all that's, at this point, that's all that is holding the established order, the dominant paradigm, in place.
Wow.
Once people are able to be aware of the big lie, take responsibility for that awareness, and act with integrity, no matter how hard it is, and no matter how tempting it is to go into denial, then things will move forward. And we may be getting really close to that, because here at the end of this month, on January 30th, Jupiter is going to be moving out of retrograde into direct motion, and all of the major planets will be in direct motion until Mercury goes into retrograde on February 23rd. And so we will have nearly 2 months of all the planets going in direct motion.
Ah.
And that will be everything, all the planets represent. Sun never goes into retrograde. Moon never goes into retrograde. So you have consciousness there. You have Mercury, which represents intellect. Venus, receptiveness. Mars, action. Jupiter, expansion, Saturn, form, et cetera, et cetera. All of those archetypes, as planets play out in our life, are going to be moving forward. And so there's going to be a big thing to move forward beginning on January 30th. And then when Mercury does go into retrograde on February 23rd, the idea is how we see it. And that is, I would propose that we see it like a windshield wiper. When it starts raining, at least for most automobiles, number one, the driver must be aware. Number two, the driver must take responsibility and turn on the windshield wiper.
Yep.
And then number three, must act with integrity in changing how the car is driven in the rain.
Yes.
And that is what this Mercury retrograde, the first of three in water signs, is going to represent on February 23rd, when Mercury goes retrograde in Pisces, and that's the most advanced of the water signs. It's where the zodiac ends, begins. It's where creativity and both creativity and fear come from. And if we can go in to this period of direct motion after January 30th and move ahead as each of us are capable of doing, moving ahead and leaving stuff behind, leaving behind attachments, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much we're put in, tempted to go into denial, and then go into the Mercury retrograde and not see it as a negative thing, but because when a planet's in retrograde, it appears to go back and forth over the same degrees, just like a windshield wiper. And since this isn't a water sign, it will be like that. The windshield wiper. But we have to turn it on.
Yeah. Yep, yep. So that will be an individual choice. And hopefully, we know by now that to drive in rainy, thick, rainy weather, we do need to turn that windshield wiper on so we can see more clearly. And denial does seem to be the biggest force that is driving the convoluted problems that are occurring today. And it's like we have a world that's living in denial, and it's time for all of us to support each other in coming out of that and assisting and empowering each other in gentle ways. So that we can move forward, because we can't move forward as a whole until we're all on the same page and we're seeing the same things.
That's correct, and you brought up the idea of community.
Yeah.
The established order is very good at dealing with individuals.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and masses, but, and groups.
But it is community that can become the new established order.
Yeah,
and the Occupy movement of 2010, 2011, it may not have persisted as we are conditioned to think a new established order has, but it resulted in community being created, and that made the difference in this last election, because the Republicans were banking on our current president no longer being a novelty, and that the turnout would not be as great in his support. But what they didn't figure on was community that was created during the Occupy movement. And community is where strength is. And community cannot be resisted by the established order, because it becomes stronger, whereas an individual can only be as strong as an individual is. And if an individual is giving you a problem, you just have to wait till he comes into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, and then you knock him off. But if you have an entire community, you can't follow that kind of a strategy.
Right.
So what you pointed out is really, really important, and that is people getting together.
Yeah,
and that begins with realizing that we all have the same blemish on our backside.
Yep.
And supporting each other with that, and finding together a resolution.
Yeah.
Once we've gotten over the denial, once we've gotten over covering up, once we've gotten over any sort of shame or guilt, getting over all those things and finding what we have in common.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, wow, that's really beautifully said. Wow.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah, you brought up some incredibly powerful visuals and ideas and important themes that this has been bothering me now for months, and you just clarified it and put it in a nice, polished, visual that we can all see and share, and I can't thank you enough for doing that, sharing.
Well, thank you. It was improvised. I was kind of following along with you.
Yeah.
But it comes from the astrology that I spend every day of my life with.
Wow.
And there is that theme that ties in the solstice, that ties in the Uranus Pluto square. That ties in what we're going into this year, and having to come to terms with water, both literally and metaphorically. And
yeah.
It starts from the inside out for each of us.
Yep.
And overcoming the things that we have to overcome inside of ourselves. And then we can overcome in the greater world through community.
Yes, wow. Well, Lynn, we're almost at the end of the hour, and I just want to thank you for sharing yourself so magnificently with us tonight. and give you an
opportunity.
Thank
you. I hope to speak with you again sometime.
Yes, absolutely. No question about it. And let people know how they can reach you and where they can find your writings and so on and so forth.
Well, I'm a contributing writer to planetwaves.net, which is a website created by Eric Francis, who is one of the greatest astrologers in the world.
Yeah.
And will be recognized as one of the greatest astrologers of the 21st century before it's all done. And I owe a great deal to him for his inspiration. And then as far as my personal email is concerned, it's my first name and last name run together, and that's Len Wallach, L as in Lima, E as in Echo, N as in November, W as in Whiskey, A as in Alpha, L as in Lima, L as in Lima, I as in India, C as in Charlie, K as in Kilo, at gmail.com. But I would really recommend everybody catch not only me, but all the other fine writers and astrologers on the planetwaves.net website, especially Eric, because Eric is really one of the people who is setting the tone. He's on the wavefront for modern astrology at this time.
Wonderful. Well, I sure will, and maybe I can have Eric on the show sometime, too. Get them all on the show. All right, Lynn. Thank you so much.
A whole host of people. All right.
Wonderful,
thank
wonderful
you.
Stuff. All right. Good
thank
night,
you.
Everybody.